thanks again for coming and for staying until the last session of the last day. I'm Tamara Michael. I'm the Community Health Coordinator at Queens Library, and Savitri and I are actually going to be co-presenting. I'm going to zip really quickly through some context, and then she is going to talk about the work that we're doing and the work that we will continue to do. All right, so we are going to talk specifically about public libraries as centers for community organizing around health and the ways that the libraries allow for a cultural tailoring of public health interventions and how that really maximizes the impact of the work that we're doing, and also the necessity of effective strategic partnerships in all of the work that we are doing. Are there any Queens people here? Oh, yay! Okay, great. So for those of you who haven't been there, you should check it out. It's a really great place. It's a really, really unique place. As you can see from the slide, Queens possesses tremendous linguistic, cultural, and ethnic diversity. About half of people are foreign-born, and about half of people speak a language other than English in their homes. And one thing that I want to highlight is it's not just like one or two languages. There are over 100 languages that are commonly spoken in Queens. So I've seen reports of, you know, upwards of like 160 languages commonly spoken. Unfortunately, there are also tremendous health disparities, and I think this percentage doesn't really begin to emphasize the disparities in wealth that exist in Queens. And as you all know, all of these factors affect both access to health as well as individual health behaviors. But what I really want everyone to take away from the slide is, I guess, the size of Queens, the number of people living there. Actually, one thing I just think is interesting, if Queens were its own city, it would actually be the fourth largest city in the U.S. after Chicago. So we're talking about a really big, you know, number of people. But also, you know, the exceptional diversity. All right. So you can take a look at these stats, but the message that we really want everyone to take away from this slide is that libraries, public libraries, really are sort of the great equalizer. There is research that shows that when people are looking for health information, a lot of times their initial point of access is their public library. And we actually have a lot of anecdotal evidence to support this. For example, you know, it's not just like, where are the Harry Potter books? But, I mean, we are getting that reference question, but it's also things like, I'm pregnant and I don't know what to do, or, you know, questions like that. So probably for those of you who maybe don't work with libraries, it might be sort of more of a natural partnership than you realize, you know, if you're looking to get information out to people. The library really is in the business of getting information out to community members. All right, so now I am going to talk a little about the actual health part of our presentation. I'm just going to talk a little about the HealthLink program, which was our first large-scale public health program, which I think really sort of laid the groundwork for the rest of the story that Savitri is going to talk a little bit about. So Queens Library HealthLink was an NCI-funded five-year partnership among Queens Library, Albert Einstein College of Medicine, the American Cancer Society, and also the Queens Cancer Center, which is a comprehensive cancer center that is actually situated in our public hospital system. It was a community-based approach to increase access to cancer screening and treatment in 20 medically underserved communities throughout the borough of Queens, where unfortunately our rates of late-stage cancer far surpass national averages. So if you take a look at this chart, you'll see that it's actually what this chart shows is the rate of late-stage cancer at Queens Cancer Center versus U.S. averages. So you can see that it's those types of cancer that we have the tools and technology to diagnose early, where unfortunately the disparities are greatest, which is, you know, a huge social justice problem. And one thing that I wanted to mention about this, cervical cancer is not on here, but at the same time, the rate of cervical cancer diagnosis at Queens Cancer Center was about 39% more than national averages, which is, I think, a really important indicator of general health as well as access to care. All right, so what makes our HealthLink program so unique is our Cancer Action Councils, which are small groups of committed community members and leaders who use their local knowledge and expertise to tailor health programs and interventions to their communities. And based on the questions that were being asked in the audience, I think people, you know, really understand this concept and understand that it's the people who live and work in a community who know it the best and know what's worked well in the past, what hasn't worked well. They know how to reach their neighbors. And so they really need to be involved, or better yet, even leading, if the interventions that we're going to do are going to have an impact. So sort of the neighborhoods in Queens are all so different, and each of our Cancer Action Councils in those neighborhoods are so different. And I included some pictures of some of the different programs that we've done, and I'm trying to go fast, so I haven't really talked too much specifically about the different interventions, but they are so unique. But I thought it might be useful to present one Cancer Action Council member's story. And I could have talked about, you know, any of the different programs that they planned, but I thought that Rosalie's story, this is Rosalie right here. I thought it really, oh, she's right here too. I think it really sort of, you know, it hopefully will illustrate what the work that we're doing looks like on the ground, the importance of that community trust, having great referrals, you know, the way that we tailor programs, how all of that really has such an impact in sort of the outcomes of the work that we're doing. So Rosalie, before I met her, she owned a bowling alley. She got sick. She had a bilateral mastectomy. She went back to work, but then she got sick again, and she was unable to continue working. So she was sort of like looking for something that would fill that like brain space, but also, you know, sort of that heart space too. So she, one of her neighbors who lives in her same building brought her to one of our Cancer Action Council networking dinners. And this is actually a picture at one of our networking dinners. And she was able to meet all of the different Cancer Action Council members from across Queens, as well as our formal partners. She was also able to meet, there's a van that goes to different neighborhoods and provides mammograms regardless of insurance status or immigration status. And so she was able to meet with them. She joined our Southern Queens Cancer Action Council, and she proposed the idea of doing one of these events at her church in her community. And she did tons of outreach. She had the support of the other Cancer Action Council members. She ended up screening 42 women in one day, which is a really, really huge number. I mean, just to sort of put it into context, a really good event is about 25 people, and I don't bother planning these events without our community partners because I can't get 25 people. One thing I also want to mention, whenever anyone is diagnosed at any of her events, she really walks them through the process. She, like, drives them to their appointments, offers counsel, offers support. So just a lot of things that I, as, like, a library staff person, obviously would not be able to do. So she's one of the integral members of our Cancer Action Council team, and hopefully that sort of illustrated a little. And I think I'm going to turn it over to Savitri. I was going to talk a little about HealthLink outcomes, but I think we should keep moving.
Hi, everyone. I'm Savitri. I'm going to try to go really fast. Looks like I have about 7 minutes to talk to you about Queens Connect Care, which is the program I had worked on at the library. So basically, Queens Connect Care was a health education and referral program offered in Southeast Queens, including the Rockaways, which I'll talk about a little bit later in the next few slides. I'm going to talk quickly about Hurricane Sandy. The purpose of the program was to improve the health of community residents and increase access to primary care. That was at 8 library sites. We used blood pressure and blood glucose screenings to encourage customers to make primary care appointments directly in the library. So the reason we focused on this neighborhood and this area of Queens was because not only is it a medically underserved area, but residents also experience higher rates of common but serious chronic diseases such as diabetes and heart disease, more so than the rest of Queens or New York City. The program was a formal partnership between the Joseph P. Adoppo Family Health Center and Albert Einstein College of Medicine. I know we have someone here who mentioned that earlier. And they provided the expertise, so they evaluated the project for us. So these pictures just kind of illustrate what the program looks like in practice. We did do health programming inside the library, but we tried to take advantage of doing things outside as well, just to meet people where they were. Not everyone's coming into the library, so we try to do that. These two pictures are both of Zumba classes. The left is a picture of a Zumba class taking place in an elementary school, blood pressure and blood glucose screenings going on in the forefront. And then on the right is also a Zumba class taking place on the beach in the Rockaways. This is the stage where entertainment happens. We utilized it to have the class. About 200 people were at that program attending that exercise class, and all of this is free to anyone who's interested. They don't need a library card to attend. They just come, dance, get their blood pressure, maybe make an appointment if they're interested. We found early on that these screenings was what really made people interested in getting an appointment, not necessarily the programs on their own, but also Zumba class was our most well-attended and requested program, so we tried to make sure that we combined these two programs in particular to encourage people to make appointments. Also, just quickly, I wanted to mention that most of our topics that we covered, not just Zumba, but nutrition or diabetes or something that had a lecture-style component to it, we based those topics off of customer requests. So we did things that they were interested in that they told us they wanted to hear about. So I'm going to quickly talk about the outcomes of the program because I have about 5 more minutes to go. So quickly, this slide just says that customers who came and listened to a presentation on a topic, about 92% of them learned some or a lot, 8% learned very little. The next slide here just shows that after completing our survey, it looked like they were motivated to make an appointment after they went through the program. This is our main outcomes page, so we looked at a couple of different things here. Total programs, total program attendance, total primary care referral, those were the main things we were looking at. And if you just look across, you'll see that we exceeded our goals for this project, so that was nice. Basically, one of the really impressive ones was program attendance. We doubled our reach for what we had been projecting. And another really good one was how many people were screened. So if you look there to the bottom, we were projecting we would screen 225 people, and we actually screened almost 10 times as many. One other thing I think was notable with the referrals we made was that a lot of them were made towards the open enrollment period for ACA last year. We counted people who were interested in enrolling as primary care, and that helped us reach our numbers. And our medical partner was a navigator, so they were able to kind of fill all the gaps and make sure that people got into the marketplace and were able to see the doctor if they were interested. So that's the gist of ConnectCare and what we did for that program. And that program is now over. During the course of ConnectCare, Sandy did happen. So that's my next slide, just to quickly talk about Sandy. Sandy happened on October 29th, 2012. And that's just about 2 years ago. And since ConnectCare was going and I was planning programs already to encourage customers to come into the library and get their blood pressure checked, we kind of changed the focus of what we were doing and started working on more Sandy-specific programming to meet the needs of what was going on. So these are pictures of one particular branch in the Rockaways. So all of the branches in the Rockaways were impacted, some more severe than others. This one was impacted the most and is actually still closed. The others have reopened since. So on the bottom right is the inside of Peninsula Library, which is still closed. That's just all the, you know, the books, the computers, other materials that were ruined, and also a lot of materials were out on the street, so that doesn't show everything that, you know, that whole library, all the supplies are gone now. This left side picture is a few days later, so we had to close down the library, but we offered this to customers, which is a mobile library where people could charge their phones, get information about FEMA, and even apply for insurance through FEMA, because it was an internet-based application and people did not have electricity, so they had to come to the library when we didn't have electricity so they could apply for these services. Just quickly, the library was able to kind of do on-the-ground work right after Sandy happened, and we, like it says here, just responded to customers' needs in real time. And I think an interesting little snap of statistics is that we were able to give out 9,000 meals, 6,000 coats, 1,500 blankets, and other emergency supplies during the first few weeks after the storm. And we also lost $2 million in supplies for, you know, those libraries that were impacted by the storm. So because of our initial on-the-ground work during the first days of Sandy, we were able to secure these recovery grants to go forward because we had really been doing this for a few years and getting good at it. So we were able to, you know, keep going forward and do some more targeted programming that helped people in the neighborhood with what they needed most. So this on the left is a little picture of a program that was done within a few months of the storm. And basically it's an informational program where FEMA came into a library to present and talk about how to apply for FEMA, but also talk to people. They were going through denials and having stress about what to do next, so we brought them in so they could just talk to people. And then this program on the right just happened a few weeks ago, so it just really showed the evolution of the kind of Sandy work we're doing. There's the emergency aspect of Sandy is over, but people are still dealing with the aftermath and how to deal with the stress and recovery and things like that. So I'm going to just finish up here with what we've really learned about doing programming at Queens Library and how we get customers into the library or at our programs and what we do to reach them. So these are just a couple of things that we've done. We kind of follow this system of asking customers what they want instead of telling them. And examples I have here are Zumba on the Beach. That was a program that a customer requested. And also we do things that are entertaining. Instead of just a lecture, we'll follow up a lecture with something fun, a movie or entertainment, dance. It could be really anything, but we just try to do things that are not so top-down, so sit and listen and that's it. We make it entertaining so that they'll come. The other thing that we do is if we're doing a program, here I have the example of kidney health, where they're talking about kidney health, but questions come up having to do with something else, and we realize that more information is needed that can't be covered in that first program. So one program can lead to another based on customer questions or interests. The other thing is we just listen to what's happening in the world, current events. As an example, last week we did a program on the Ebola virus because we were getting some questions from customers about how it spread and what they can do and things like that. So that's kind of how we go about tailoring our programs. This is just some visuals on recent programs. I won't go into it too much just because we're running out of time, but basically, we try different things out. We take risks. Some of them work. Some of them don't. We listen to people like it. If they come, we take all that into account to keep going forward. And these are just some of our different innovative programs. And this is my last slide. So now that HealthLink has wrapped up and ConnectCare has wrapped up, Tamara and I are continually figuring out how we're going to keep this going, what we're going to be doing next. And so we've come up with this 5-year strategic plan falling under the umbrella of community health, and we want to focus on these 4 topics: diabetes, cancer, sexual and reproductive health, and then general health, which would be a program that doesn't fall under these 3 topics, and also continue to develop our partnerships because we wouldn't be able to offer this kind of programming without the partners. We are a library, so we're not hiring all these educators or nurses or whatever, so we have to bring that in from other organizations. That's how we're able to keep going. And so just for example, some of our partners that we have currently, some strong partnerships we have currently going, Gilda's Club, they do cancer support group with a local cancer center, and then also Planned Parenthood New York City, they've been helping us with staff capacity, which basically just helps library staff interact with customers in a meaningful way when it comes to sexual and reproductive health, because it's a touchy topic, because staff feel that they're invading people's privacy or just don't want to answer these questions. We've worked with Planned Parenthood to offer this training to library staff so that we can just provide information on these topics like any other reference question. And this guide is something that we created last year, which just has numbers and addresses, websites inside of local resources in Queens. It's actually very hard to receive or find sexual and reproductive health in Queens, so we put this together just to make it a little bit easier. We were getting calls pretty regularly about pregnancy scares or where to go for these things, so that's why we put that together, and that's pretty much it. So I hope you'll ask questions, because I had to skim and go fast, so if anything kind of seemed unclear, I'm happy to answer questions. Thanks. The only one in the country. So these are grant funded, and books are covered by our city budget. They're just different money. We have to pursue money to offer health programs in the library, whereas books you don't pursue, you're given a budget. So it's just 2 different situations.
Can I add something?
Please. Interesting. Yeah.
I
Well, I think the first thing I would offer is that it's pretty standard for libraries to provide meeting space for people, and I don't think that everyone realizes that the library is a free meeting space that you can always secure. Obviously, you have to work within their schedule and speak to them about it, but that's just part of libraries' mission, is to offer free space for communities. But you can also speak to them about collaborating and bringing in your health information to their customers. That's how we are able to do our work. We bring in partners. Of course. Great. Cool. Thank you.
Actually, to help answer the last question, did you just go and talk to the community library manager that did you just talk to the team and fit? And she was like, I'm just trying to
think. Oh, okay. So I think that we have a community organizer reach out to different, you know, different community groups.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you so much.